shepherd, there's a crew covering all Lily's wrestling, bringing you the news. It's Sunday Night Raw, gonna rock your world. Tune into the podcast, let the chaos unfurl. The energy's electric, the passion's on fire.
What's going on, Kicking Out Podcast Nation? Happy New Year from the Kicking Out Podcast as it is Sunday night, January 5th, 2025. Hope everybody's had a great first 5 days of a brand new year. I'm Tanner Lee, co-host Paul Zartman's in the house tonight. Our KLP Predictions champion, Shep, Austin Shepherd, will not be joining us as he's out on the West Coast for a little nice vacay. See how that works, Paul. He wins the title and then decides, I deserve a vacation. I'm gonna peace out on the first episode of 2025.
Well, you know, that's kind of how it seems to go with Shep. Last time he won the title, he was gone that week, too.
And I can't remember back that long enough, so...
Well, it's been that long that it, you know,
I believe it was
digging to do, but
I believe it was All Out 2023.
Yeah.
Cause then I won it at Wrestle Dynasty and then I held it or not Wrestle Dream, not Wrestle Dynasty.
Wrestle Dynasty.
We'll be talking about Wrestle Dynasty later. Dream until you took it off me at Full Gear this year and then Shep took it off you. But it is funny, you know, we just accidentally mentioned Wrestle Dynasty. For a long time, he kept saying he was going to put it on the line at Wrestle Dynasty. Dynasty came and went, and we didn't do a prediction. So
nope.
I guess he's going to hold it at least, unless he surprises us, at least until Revolution on March 9th.
Yeah, so he's going to hold it until March. He did this on purpose. You know right?
Yeah.
If he would have been like, oh, why not? Put it on the line at Dynasty. It's no big deal. It'll be fun.
Oh, exactly.
I'll think about it and then probably stop thinking about it about 30 seconds after we stop the podcast.
Probably. I mean, he could swerve us, I guess, and put on the line maybe at Grand Slam on February 15th. But besides that, I don't know if we're going to get a big enough show between now and Revolution to even try to put on the line. So, Stephen Chambers, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, Stephen?
Chilling, getting ready for the big game, Lions versus Vikings. Go Lions! Yeah, I'm pulling for the Lions in that one.
Yeah,
As I'm for anybody listening, I'm all decked out my Broncos gear tonight. Of course, if you're a longtime KOP listener, you know I'm a diehard Denver Broncos fan, and they clinched a playoff berth today for the first time since the 2015 season. So I'm pretty excited. I know they're probably not going to fare well against the Bills, but hey. It's a big step for the organization.
It is. I'm happy for them.
Yeah. Thank you. I thought you were gonna say you're happy for me, Paul.
Well, I'm happy for you too.
Thank you.
Because you won our bet, so now I gotta go find a shirt or a hat or something.
Yeah.
And wear it at some point in the near future.
Yeah. You could take your time, but yeah, I will be expecting you to cash in on that.
Oh, I will. I hold up to.
I know you do.
I'm a man of my word, if nothing else.
I know you are. Stephen Chambers, Omega versus Kid at Wrestle Dynasty. Holy shit. Yes, we'll be talking about that. I did order Wrestle Dynasty just for that match, honestly, more than anything. Overall, I thought it was a really good show, but that match. I know it's hard to say match of the year when it's on January 5th, but. When it comes to the end of the 2025, that's going to be one. I guarantee you that's on everybody's list of nominations, at least, because they tore the Tokyo Dome down.
Any big Kenny Omega match normally ends up on the talking sheets for
the dude's unbelievable. He's unbelievable. He's been out for a year. You know, diverticulitis is a very serious condition.
Yes.
And then he comes back and reminds us why he's the best bout machine, one of the best, if not the best in the world. He's amazing.
God.
Can't wait to see what he's got to say Wednesday night on Dynamite. Majin, I still got to watch both Wrestle Kingdom and Wrestle Dynasty, but I saw clips. He's back, guys. The best bout machine is back. Mox, keep that title warm because soon enough, the cleaner is coming to regain his property. I'd be up for it. if that's the direction they go. And Steve Chambers, Tanahashi on commentary after the match, he was crying after the Gabe Kidd Kenny Omega match. And Gabe Kidd was the perfect opponent for Kenny Omega last night. That dude, I think he can be the face of New Japan Wrestling going forward. I know his his contract's getting close to being up. I know David Finley's is as well, but a whole bunch of talent, but they're trying to re-sign a bunch. Interesting enough, Takeshita revealed last night that he's under contract not only with AEW, but also New Japan.
Yeah, and DDT.
And DDT, so dude's a beast. Dude's a beast. He had a great weekend this weekend, picking up another title at Wrestle Kingdom and then winning his match last night as well. So they could really push him to be, and maybe this is a weird comparison, but they could push him to be their version of Brock Lesnar over there if they did it right.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very dominant. So yeah, I could agree with that.
But this was a big week for AEW. Not only did it kick off things for 2025, but we finally got the simulcast over on Max on both Dynamite and Collision. Did you watch on Max or did you watch on TBS on Wednesday night?
Oh, I watched on Max. I'm not even going to lie. I don't watch a whole lot of live television. Sure. So I only kept YouTube TV until the end of 2024 because Raw's over on Netflix now. I don't watch SmackDown, so I don't need that. And AEW's now on Max, and I have Netflix and I have Max, so why pay for another subscription when the two big shows I watch live are now on streaming platforms?
I'm surprised you don't watch SmackDown with as big as of a fan of Cody Rhodes you are.
You know, I used to, but it's gotten so repetitive again that I can't get behind it. Because even when you see something coming on Raw, you get something added to it to make it different than what you expected, even if it's been something that's been ran 75 times, like the Punk Rollins promo. I will be the first to say this. I was a Punk fan when he was in WWE until towards the end there, and then kind of got it in AEW, but quickly lost interest in him. But he's finally getting back to the Punk that I enjoyed watching, so I tune in to watch him.
He and Rollins did Monday night, where it was good stuff. And I'm sure tomorrow will be good as well. But the reason I was asking you about the TBS and Max, or I know you didn't watch Collision last night, but if you did, I would ask about Max or TNT, is because I actually was watching on TBS Wednesday night. And then till the main event, I flipped it over to Max because I kept seeing on X and in Blue Sky and all over social media how the quality was better on Max. So I went to check it out, which it was 100%. But right away, when the first ad break came up on Max, it went straight to an ad. I thought, wait a second. I've had picture in picture all night on TBS. Mm-hmm. So that's the big difference I see. Is TBS TNT still does picture in picture. Max does not. Right. So I'm kind of at a back and forth with myself because I think the quality is definitely better on Max. But you do, even though nothing real important happens using picture in picture and commercial break, you still are missing some of that action.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that goes back to the olden days before AEW did picture in picture, but I always liked the picture in picture aspect because you don't miss that. And it takes me back to my childhood because we had a fancy enough TV, I guess, that it had picture in picture on it. So I used to watch Raw and Nitro and flip back and forth in picture in picture. So having that picture in picture always made me feel like a little bit of a kid again.
Yeah,
with that aspect. But at the same time, man, that quality is really good on Max.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know if that's something Max will eventually do or not. I don't know. It's going to be the same way with Netflix Raw tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter what tier you pay for, you're still going to get ads. I mean, the NFL did it. If the NFL did it with their two games on Christmas Day, WWE's going to have ads as well. So,
oh, absolutely.
Is what it is.
And there's probably won't be picture in picture either, because WWE didn't do a whole lot of picture in picture for Raw. And unless it was a big match, they would do it then. But you're, you know, AEW, it's every time they go to commercial break. Raw was, if it's a big match or had a big name in it.
Yeah. 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 But it is wild. It, I mean, very fitting and exciting time to be a pro wrestling fan 2025 with the two biggest American promotions going on streaming. I mean, it's yeah. good for the future, but it is pretty wild as well. What'd you like from Dynamite? What'd you not like from Dynamite this Wednesday night? Fight for the Fallen, I should say. Dynamite Fight for the Fallen.
It didn't have that big Fight for the Fallen feel to me.
Yeah.
It just seemed like it was just a run-of-the-mill Dynamite that they slapped a Fight for the Fallen logo on to kick off the new year. But it was nice seeing Julia Hart back in action. She definitely hasn't missed a step, that's for sure.
Yes, Steffi Shep is on vacation. Yeah. So he won't be joining us.
No NASCAR talk tonight for you, Steffi.
Shep's getting love and hate in the chat. Gotta love seeing that from our point of view.
Yeah.
But I will say, yeah, it was a little different than a normal Fight for the Fallen, but I did like that it was a Fight for the Fallen event because the hurricane relief for Asheville, North Carolina. So that was very fitting.
The video package of Dax giving out some checks was really cool.
Yeah, I mean, the crowd was pretty good.
Of money.
I thought the crowd was pretty good Wednesday night.
Yeah, that was nice to see.
And we're going to see small, more intimate settings, at least in the first quarter of 2025. Now, last night at Collision, the Bojangles Coliseum, which is a historic building for wrestling in Charlotte, I didn't think the crowd was on fire last night. I thought they kind of sat on their hands a lot, which was kind of disappointing.
Yeah.
But what were a few things you liked, you know, Wednesday night besides Julia Hart, which yeah, she went over Jamie Hayter, not clean, you know, with a little ref distraction, but I like that she got the win. I agree. In her first match back, I think that helps the women's division a lot going forward.
Yeah. The women's division's getting hot again. Mariah May issuing a challenge to, hey, step up. Show me why this is the best division in pro wrestling. That kind of helps, because if you're questioning, then you've got your champion saying this is the strongest division. You don't always hear that in promotions. And quite honestly, in 2019, 2020, I wouldn't have believed any woman on that roster when they said that. But now they're getting there.
A lot of comments here about the missed job from Julia to Hayter. I agree with Majin. That cameraman, awful angles, because I couldn't even tell she got missed it at first.
No.
Yeah, it was terrible.
And I think something happened with the mist in general, because
Majin says the mist her face.
Yes. It looked like the capsule fell out as she spit. I don't think it fully exploded, because right after the shot, there was nothing on the mat. And then right after the pin, you could see a spot of what should have been the mist to Jamie's face. So I do. I think it just kind of was didn't bite down soon enough or something, miscommunication. But props to Jamie for selling the hell out of that thing. Like, you know, it was all over her face, even though her face was completely clean. And you could tell because they draped her hair over her face as she was heading out so that you couldn't see it. But I kind of like Majin's comment here. There were no butt shots. Cameraman failed on those. I did like a more fired up Adam Copeland, or Adam Cope, as he's now being called.
Just Cope. They dropped the Adam.
Okay,
it's just Cope. And if you go back, when he made his debut with AEW, he was doing a little walk around interview with Renee Paquette, and he wanted to be known as Cope. So he's been pushing that for a while. So I'm guessing coming back off injury, they thought it was a good time to do that. But I'm glad you brought that up, because I want to know what your thoughts are on he going by an AEW just Cope from now on. Which, I mean, we've always kind of called him that, but it was more of a nickname off Copeland.
I'm kind of 50-50 on it. It's weird, but we've grown up with him as Edge.
Right.
He didn't have two names. Cope is kind of right there along with that. And it fits perfectly, because now's the time. You know, a lot of times coming back off an injury, you do something to change up something, whether it's new gear, new music, new Titantron video, new entrance altogether, whatever it may be. So coming back as the rated R superstar Cope works. And it's a lot easier to keep track, because you had Adam Page, Adam Cole, Adam Copeland. Now you've just got Page, Cole, Cope.
Yeah, that's true. Majin says, if Christian can go back to Christian Cage, why didn't Adam go back to Sexton Hardcastle? We need the sex man back.
Only if they team up together.
I will say I am not a fan of the Cope. I'm sure I'll warm up to it. I liked calling him Cope, like on here when we talked about him, or everybody in the comments when he was going by Adam Copeland. But it took me long enough to get used to calling him Adam Copeland instead of Edge. Now I'm wondering how long is it going to take me to say Cope instead of Adam Copeland. That's my main gripe with that. But I think for like merchandise, I think it's smart.
Oh, yeah. It's shorter. You can make it bigger. You can add more to the shirt now and keep the shirt at a lower cost, because you're not paying for that extra print. Yep.
And I'm sure he looked at, like, you know, we call Mox, or we call Moxley Mox.
Mm-hmm.
So he's thinking, well, everybody knows him as Mox. I can just go by Cope. But that's where I like, I still like Moxley being John Moxley, and we all call him Mox. Like, I still wish Adam Copeland would have been just kept Adam Copeland instead of being Cope. But
Adam Cope.
Adam Cope, yeah.
But that would have been too close to
Adam. That would have been real close. Yeah, real close to Adam Cole. So, I thought he looked good in the ring in his first match back with FTR against the Death Riders. A little chaotic match, kind of all over the place. Saw some interference,
of course,
but it was a fun match, a fun way to go off the air.
Yeah. I like that Jay White returned the favor to Yuta. Yep. Yuta cost him, so he returned that favor. I liked Cope's backstage segment, where he just kind of just ranting off about everything. I can't even remember who it was.
Big Bill and Brian Keith.
Yeah.
You have a stupid face. I was like, come on, that's cheesy. That part is cheesy. But
it was, but it worked so well for him. Yeah. And then just to end it, bye, guys.
Yeah, yeah. And then I'll get into their collision stuff here in a bit. But no, that was good stuff. What else happened Wednesday night? I'm trying not to look at any notes over here. We got a Mercedes segment we probably didn't need.
We didn't need that. The women's match was earlier on in the night than it has been in a long time. Yep. And so even though they were back to back, we technically got two women's segments.
True. And Mercedes and Mina had a really good match last night. Which Mercedes went over, so she's got four titles.
Yeah. Technically, if you count Mariah May's segment, we had three women segments, which is still amazing.
True.
So.
The Ricochet Swerve stuff was awesome. Ricochet's unhinged now.
Looking like
a serial killer. Stabbing Swerve with scissors. Which Swerve did blade, by the way. I saw some people speculating if it was a hard way, but he bladed.
No, he bladed.
I can get on board with this heel Ricochet. This adds elements to his character we didn't see in WWE.
Ricochet definitely needed this. This is something completely different than we ever saw from him in WWE, so this, you can't say, oh, it's another former WWE guy, because now Ricochet's kind of back to what he was on the indies.
Yes.
Which a lot of people forget about. You know, he had this amazing career long before he ever went to WWE, and it kind of got brought down because they didn't have guys that could compete at the speed that Ricochet could.
Yep. The only thing I gripe about this, because I think it's going to be a fun rivalry, is so are we just forgetting about Swerve's business with the Hurt Syndicate? I mean, was that just a one-time match at Full Gear and forget about everything else? Or do you think this ties into it, this rivalry somehow?
I think it ties into it. I think Ricochet is going to end up being revealed as the third wrestling man of Hurt Syndicate.
Which I wouldn't mind, but I got a name to throw out there for you to get your thoughts. What if it's Anthony Bowens?
I would be okay with that too. After that tag match, I really enjoyed that tag match. The no wrap was nice. You know, Bowens kind of just passing right by Caster, getting into the ring, them kind of squabbling throughout the match, and then Caster being in the ring and Bowen just being like, all right, look, I tried to help you. I'm done.
Yep. The split's coming. But I really could see that, you know, kind of Swerve, have Bowens go heel instead of Caster and join the Hurt Syndicate. Cause I think Bowens has more star potential. I know Caster can talk, but
he does. Well, and here's the thing. We don't see Bowens do a lot of talking because Caster's always been the mouthpiece for the Acclaimed.
Right.
Even when they had Billy Gunn with them, Billy should have been the mouthpiece because he was the manager, and he wasn't. It was Caster. So I think we'll be shocked what Bowens can do when he's by himself.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. Jay White did win the gauntlet match that we saw Swerve partake in.
Yeah.
So he's in the gauntlet match. Excuse me. He won the triple threat to get in the gauntlet match.
The three way
this week.
Yeah. The three way. It's not a triple threat. Yeah. Sounds terrible. I like triple threat so much.
Yeah. Better. I'm always going to call it triple threat. Just like the four way, I'm going to call Fatal Four.
They called it a triple threat backstage, but then as the match starts, commentary's calling it a three-way, and I'm like, no, that doesn't sound appropriate at all.
No, it does not, but yes, he is in the gauntlet coming up this week with the winner getting a shot at Mox at Maximum Carnage in Mox's hometown of Cincinnati coming up. So, which we do know, Double J, Jeff Jarrett's going to be in the gauntlet. He came out. We were all speculating what his announcement was going to be Wednesday night. And it's that he's not going anywhere. He signed one more talent contract to remain All Elite. And he's going after gold, AEW gold, but not just any gold, Paul.
The world title.
Thumbs down for me.
Yeah.
And I'm a big Jeff Jarrett guy. I'm a big fan of Jeff Jarrett. I got one of his figures back here, which is one of my favorite figures AEW came out with in 2024. I'm even fine with Jeff Jarrett going after AEW gold. I draw the line, though, when it's world title. Mm-hmm. We don't need 57-year-old Jeff Jarrett in the world title picture. I'm sorry.
Okay.
51-year-old Cope. All right. I can get more on board with that.
Hear me out. Okay. We've talked about this going this way with Darby. But Jarrett gets a shot, wins the title, not off of Mox, off of somebody later on this year, and Christian cashes in. So then Jarrett gets that title, but it's for like a minute.
It just feels so TNA-like. Back in the day. Oh, it just feels, WCW 2000 like.
The whole promo felt TNA WCW like with Jeff Jarrett.
I mean, I'm a big Double J guy. I think he's doing good work. This run he's had in AEW's fun, but don't need a 57-year-old guy as your world champ.
Put the
Trios, sure. Mid-card, sure.
Yeah, put the Continental on him or the International or TNT.
Yeah.
But not world title.
Yeah. No, he's like Martin said, Jared shouldn't be in the world title when he isn't regularly having better matches than plenty of people half his age.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that gets a thumbs down for me. Like I said, I like Double J a lot, but when I heard him go after a while time, I'm like, it wouldn't shock me though for him to win this damn gauntlet match and get his shot at Moxley at Maximum Carnage for him to lose. Yes. That wouldn't shock me.
Yeah. Yeah. I would be okay with that, but I don't want him holding gold.
I think this was to you, Paul. I think Double J went down his entire history in the business. Cody can waste half an hour repeating himself all the time and crying all the time, but Jarrett can't. I think since you compared it to TNA.
I didn't say Jarrett couldn't do that. I enjoyed his promo. I really enjoyed the promo. I enjoyed Jarrett on the mic. I think, and I'll probably get hate from Majin for this too, put Jarrett on commentary.
Yeah.
Replace JR. I mean, or even Taz, you know, and I like both of them on commentary. You know, I grew up with JR on commentary, for crying out loud. JR,
they're phasing JR out. That's why he just does like main events at the age of 74. They're phasing them out.
You know, JR got me through probably the darkest moment in wrestling history when I'm staring at a black screen and all I can hear is JR's voice describing what just took place when Owen Hart fell. But I think Jarrett would be great on commentary, great backstage, you know, but I think it's time for him to step away from in-ring competition, especially world title picture.
I'm still okay with him having a run, but it's not world title.
Yeah,
sure. Yeah.
And yes, every promo Cody cuts since he's gone back to WWE has been my dad, my brother, my dad, my family, my daughter, my wife, my dad, my family, my brother, my daughter, my wife for 30 plus minutes.
Did you say his dog?
Oh yeah. And his dog and his house and his bus when it catches fire.
Yeah.
And we used to be friends, but now we're not friends anymore.
Yeah.
That seems to be Cody's whole shtick in WWE. Yeah.
I am pumped to see him in the ladder match at Rumble, though. I was pretty excited when I saw that. That'll be fun.
Last ladder match we saw, he got hit off with a cutter off of the top.
Yeah,
of the
he ladder. Did. Yeah, he did. That's a good point. That's a good point. But I thought it was a fine Dynamite. We've seen better, but we've seen worse.
Yeah.
I thought it was fine. I was just more intrigued with the simulcast portion of everything. And we also know that Kenny's coming back Wednesday to speak his mind to the AW audience and Maxwell Jacob Friedman. MJF's going to be there Wednesday, which they showed a really good backstage promo from him after World's End, saying he's coming back for the Triple B. So I like it. I like it when they're teasing so many heels and faces going after the world title. That's how it should be. That's your biggest prize in the company. That should be the goal of everybody. And I mean, we were talking about Jeff Jarrett. That should be his goal. Like Majin kind of said, it should not be everybody's goal. Now, do we want to see him win it? Jeff Jarrett? No, but that should be your goal if you're a wrestler in any company to get the biggest prize.
Oh, absolutely. Never settle for second best.
Yeah. Yeah. So another thing I got a thumbs down though for Wednesday night, Powerhouse Hobbs 2-on-1 squash match. Pointless.
Yeah.
Dumb. I know, I guess they're just trying to show his dominance, but like it just
they do this with and here's my problem with this, because this has been a pattern since 2019. Well, since Wardlow came into the picture.
Mm-hmm.
We show these dominant guys in squash matches, and then they fade into the background.
Yep.
I don't want to see that happen to Hobbs again.
Right. No, I'm right there with you. Right there with you. Martin says it's to gain Hobbs some traction back after losing to Takeshita. I understand that. But, I mean, Takeshita's like on another level from Hobbs right now. I mean, just way he's getting booked over in Japan even.
To me, it wasn't a bad loss for Hobbs.
No.
So
no, he held his own.
So. Yeah. It's not like he went out there and got squashed in 2-3 minutes. I mean, it was a good match. So I don't think he has to regain traction from that.
Steven, I did not notice that. Steve Chambers said, notice Hobbs wearing Hurt Syndicate colors. He's another one that could slide in there pretty nicely.
He's another one who's kind of always been in some type of faction since he's been in the company. And
true.
And I think it's got a lot to do with the fact that he's young and he's still learning. He's not.
Can't talk too much.
Yeah, he's not real good on the microphone. So having him in these factions is good as long as they use him.
Yes.
That's all I got to say.
Yep.
And not as a fake title winner either.
Right. No Rampage talk about this week because it's not a thing anymore.
Yeah, it's gone.
Going forward. But Collision last night, like I said, Bojangles Coliseum in Charlotte. Or maybe it's the rain. I think it's Coliseum. Call it Coliseum. I like Daniel Garcia kick things off. Danny Garcia versus Mark Briscoe for the TNT title. Daniel Garcia, of course, got the W. But I liked his gear was Bojangles inspired gear. It had the same colors. I thought that was a nice little touch. That was a fine match. Tony Storm getting the win over Deonna Purrazzo was fun. Tony Storm should have been the Rookie of the Year. Should have been a late entry in Rookie of the Year in 2024. I'm digging this gimmick. I'm really enjoying
it. Oh, I love it. It's absolutely fantastic. Oh, you know, it's so nice to meet you. We've met before. We have? You know who I am? You know, it's just so cool.
I still think we're going to get her going for that title at Grand Slam on February 15th.
Oh, yeah, we're building up her wins quickly so that it makes sense to have her in the title picture with this gimmick.
Yeah, because, I mean, Mariah's held the title since All In.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it hasn't been that great of a title ring.
No.
I mean, I thought our match with Thunder, the Tijuana street fight kind of fell off flat at World's End. So
insert town name street fight.
Yeah. Which actually, it should have been Orlando Street Fight
in that case. I'll give them that. They actually used a different name for it for a change. But
Majin says, Grand Slam's too soon for a rookie. Must not remember the giant 94 of WCW, 95, whatever that year was.
Yeah.
But let's see here. Majin complaining how if TK would only take the women's title as seriously as he's been taking the TBS, Mercedes is holding their mid-card title. It feels like the title for the women. Mercedes feels like the person to beat too. Whereas you look at to the women's and Mariah and both look meaningless. Yeah, no, I can't disagree.
Here's the problem though. That's the title she wanted to hold when she came to the company. I guarantee it. And she's the highest paid female wrestler in professional wrestling right now. So, of course, TK is going to focus heavily on her and whatever her storyline is, which unfortunately is the mid-card title versus the main title. But I don't think Mercedes coming in and going right after the women's title would have made sense. This makes the TBS title feel bigger than it actually is. Not just a secondary, oh, look, they gave the women another title belt. Now it actually means something. And now that she's the second longest reigning TBS champion, I think she's not going to beat Jade's record by any mean. I think it's going to be somebody who has combined days that'll beat that, not a straight. I held it for 500 and however many days she held it. But I've got a feeling that now with four titles, Mercedes is going to slowly start sneaking her way into the world title picture. And honestly, with Steven there saying that, you know, they're not gonna derail Mercedes, the belt collector.
I don't know who could right now.
Me either. I wouldn't be surprised if she wins the women's championship as TBS champion. And Tony Khan says, all right, you got to give up one. Which do you want to give up? And she gives up TBS. It becomes vacant. Tony holds one of his infamous tournaments. And there we go.
I mean, maybe Athena could take it off of her if they get the ROH title off of Athena and get her over to AEW. But I'll believe that when I see it.
Yeah.
She had a heck of a match last night, too, in a losing effort. And Willow, they were all involved in that same match over there, the ladies on the pre-show. Mm-hmm. That was a good match in Wrestle Dynasty. I can't argue. The booking of the women's division has been really head scratching at times, for sure. It has. Because whoever takes that TBS title off of Mercedes, it's going to be a really big deal. I just don't know. I don't know who that's going to be right now. Stephen Chambers bringing up on Collision last night. Daniels, yes. Paul, I don't know if you read about this. CD, Christopher Daniels, finally snapped and attacked Hangman. It was actually happened backstage at Dynamite after the show, but they showed it on Collision last night. So I can't say I'm a huge fan of this, but it looks like we're going to get some sort of program with CD and Hangman, probably a multi-week television program. But
yeah, and let's not forget, the main reason CD stopped wrestling wasn't only his age, but that eye injury he got from the Bucks.
Right, in 2020. So,
yeah, he just took time to make sure that was...
For 2021.
Yeah, he had to make sure it was healed and that he was good to go. I mean, CD's always been one of the guys that isn't going to jump back into a ring prematurely.
Yeah.
And he looks good, so...
Yeah, we'll see. I'm fine with it, I guess, if it's a...
He'll lose.
One-time match, but I don't want it to be a real drawn-out feud or anything. I think they could do so much more with Hangman.
It'll be at Maximum Carnage.
I gotta agree with Amir here on YouTube. Collision made AEW feel so old. Daniels, Jarrett, Cope. He said Edge, but I'll call him Cope. Jericho, Rock and Roll Express.
Mm-hmm.
It was good to see Rock and Roll Express. That was cool, though, seeing them with the Outrunners, doing some outtakes with the Outrunners. That was pretty fun. Like I said, Tony Storm's match got a thumbs up from me last night. Interesting backstage segment. They were asking, Lexi Nair was asking Cope why he wants to go after Moxley. He pretty much said, simple, you hurt my friends, I got a problem with you. He said, you hurt Darby Allin, then you hurt FDR, now we got a problem.
Yeah.
So, and he's saying, you know, Moxley was saying that nobody in this company wants to be a champ, blah, blah, blah. Cope said, I do. So I'm stepping up to the plate. Well, then Jericho interrupts him and says, hey, while you're on the shelf, I also became the Nueve, 9-time world champ, because Cope said it's time to become a 12-time world champ. How he's been 11. And they're saying how this will be last night's match. It's going to be the fourth different decade that they've been in the same ring. Pretty much Cope went from saying he's never had a problem with Jericho to taking it back and saying, you are an asshole. So,
Yeah.
It was it was neat to see him stand face to face and have some words to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the main event was fine. Raid FTR went over the learning tree like you'd expect. So with Jericho eating the pin. So after taking the spear. So.
I seriously think there's something ROH TV deal in the works. And that's the only reason Jericho's holding this title right now is because he's a big name.
Yeah.
Compared to anybody else in ROH, it's probably the biggest name.
Got a comment here from the Real Pineapple Movie Podcast on YouTube. I like how the walls are closing in on Moxley and Death Riders. I'd like to see Cope versus Moxley, maybe Darby versus Mox at Revolution, have Moxley retain, and have a returning Eddie Kingston beat Mox.
Mm. I'd be okay with that as long as it's not for the title.
And so Majin said Kingston won't be world champ.
I don't have a problem. I just like ROH, New Japan. He's done great stuff. I don't think Tony Khan sees Eddie Kingston as a world champion on his main programming, his main brand.
Yeah. And I like a lot of things the Real Pineapple Movie Podcast was saying. The only thing I'm going to disagree with is Darby at Revolution, because I think that spot they did with kicking him down the steps at Hammerstein was to keep him away off TV for a while. And I believe he's going to try to climb Everest in April.
Yeah.
So maybe just have him off TV until he comes back from that. I don't know. That's quite a while, but.
Which is, to me, having him written off TV by being kicked down the stairs makes absolutely no sense, because we've watched the man in matches where he literally gets thrown downstairs and 5 minutes later is back into the ring beating somebody else up.
But how are you going to write him off without basically killing the dude?
Run him over. Oh, wait, he got hit by a bus and came back a few weeks later. Exactly. Never mind.
Stephen Chambers really can see Cope beating Mox all in and crash Christian cashing in the contract and beat Cope just like Christian did to Cope with the TNT title. I agree with that.
I would be perfect with that.
I agree with that. I can see if they have Cope winning it, Christian absolutely cashing in, that being a snake he is.
Yep.
Amir saying Mox versus Switchblade at Grand Slam Aussie. I could see that. I could get behind that. Give Jay White his one-on-one match, not in a fatal four-way.
Yeah.
And he also says Mox versus Cope at Revolution. That's what I'm thinking we're going to get. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think Cope goes over at Revolution. Not to say he couldn't, maybe down the line, like an all-in, like Steven was saying. But I do think, that's almost 2 months away. Revolution, and it just seems like where the chips are falling, that would make a lot of sense. Covert Mox.
Yeah.
Majin, yeah, but this is Mox. The world title adds +5 to strength.
Yeah. He becomes a little bit more durable and a little bit more stronger with that title. It gets some added points to his proficiency.
Double J made quick work of Aaron Solo last night to officially get in this gauntlet coming up on Wednesday night in Dynamite.
Everybody makes quick work of Solo, including Bailey. Oh,
you said it, not me. You could take that multiple ways too.
Shet's not here, so
hey, let your mind wander, everybody. Take it however you want. yeah, Shep's not here. You're right. What else happened last night on Collision? I'm trying to think. I don't think there was anything else worth talking about, really. The Real Pineapple Movie Podcast said, I would love a Jay White AEW World title run. Maybe at Winter is Coming. Sucks the Guns have been hurt, because a feud with the Death Riders would be a nice way to continue to elevate them. 100%.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yep, I miss seeing the Guns on TV. And I'm too bad Juice got hurt. I miss that whole gang. Missed the Bang Bang Gang.
The Bang Bang Gang's all banged up.
Good one. Good one.
They haven't been healthy as a group long since they formed.
Right. Right. So
seems to be the pattern.
Yeah. But no, I thought Collision was okay. At the end, it was kind of awkward though. After the main event, the Mox and the Death Riders were shown, and they had taped up the Rock and Roll Express just like up to these boxes. And I'm like, okay, what are they going to do? Like, is a car going to run into them or what? And, in one of them, they ripped the tape off. I think it was Ricky's mouth. And he said, you don't have the balls to do anything, pretty much. And they're showing this on the Jumbotron, and they can see it, you know. So the Outrunners try to come in to make the save. They get beat up. And then by the time Rated FTR runs out of the ring, Mox and those other guys just run out the door. Like into the parking lot, you see Rated FTR come, undo the duct tape off Rock and Roll Express, make sure they're okay, make sure the Outrunners are okay. And then they go out the door. So you think they're going to pan to like a parking lot shot. We can see them chasing them down or something. They pan back into the arena and literally they're just going over what's coming up on Dynamite while the camera's panning over like the Collision logo, and Shivani then leads us off the air. It was really awkward.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah. I didn't have a problem with the Rock and Roll Express stuff, but like the way everybody exited the frame, I thought we were going to get one more shot and then go off the air like that. The fact that it just went right back into the arena, it was weird. It was weird.
And it probably something that'll be strictly on social media.
See, I forgot about that, Steven. Thank you. I'm glad you're here tonight, Steven. Yeah. You're keeping me on track. Private Party did retain over Leo and Andretti, who are doing their best impression of Bowser lately with their little puffy, spiky jackets.
Yeah, that's a Leo Rush thing. I mean, that guy. I'd like to call him a kid, but he's like my age, so I can't. Yeah.
The booking of the tag division just pisses me off and about as much as anything with this company. I mean, this company used to be the best wrestling promotion when it came to tag teams, 2019, 2020, 2021, and they've lost their way. They've lost their way. Yeah. And like Private Party's only their third time. I think they've put the titles up.
They need to step this up. Something's got to give with the tag team division, and maybe with the Bucks kind of stepping back behind the scenes, not out front as much, and Kenny's back working full time again, maybe we'll start to see that come back around.
The Real Pineapple Movie Podcast was replying to Steven about the tag title match last night. He said tag title match was tons of fun. I think 2025 is when you can continue to elevate Top Flight, get them in a 2 out of 3 falls match to main event Collision versus Leo Rush and Action Andretti. So,
yeah.
There's plenty of good tag teams. That's what makes you mad with the booking of this division. There's plenty of good tag teams.
Yep.
But Steven says every time Rock and Roll Express shows up in AEW, they get attacked. Very true.
Yeah, anytime Rock and Roll Express shows up in any promotion, they get attacked.
Yep. Mira's, the claim broke up, right? Not yet. It's really teetering on the edge, which Majin asks, want to know who I think when the claim break up, who gets Billy in the divorce? Well, if my prediction's right and Bowens actually turns heel eventually and joins the Hurt Syndicate, I think Caster gets Billy in the divorce. But I like what you just did. Yeah. Put him back with his sons.
Yeah. Just even it's been if long it's, enough. Mm-hmm. Even if it's just, as a manager occasionally.
Steven said in there was Fatal 4-Way. Yeah, it was for $100,000 prize. It was Beast Mortos, Brian Cage, Commander, and Dante Martin, with Brian Cage was victorious. And the reason I forgot that, I just kind of went into Shep mode when I was watching that match and kind of just put it out of my mind and say, like, Brian Cage won.
It's Cage.
Insert fart noise, pretty much, that type of thing. So, but which Tony Khan loves the dude. You can tell.
Yeah.
You can tell with how he books him. He loves Brian Cage. Real Pineapple Movie Podcast. This is the biggest frustration with AEW, and I say it as a proud AEW mark, is the stop/go nature of the tag division, the women's division. Give me Murder Machines versus House of Black. Could say it better myself. Yep. Even though I just said fart noise about Brian Cage, I do like Lance Archer. I do like them as a tag team. Not huge on Brian Cage as a solo act, as singles, but tag team. Yeah,
but that's because we've 100%. Been given absolute, and we're far enough in, I can say this, shit from Cage as a singles wrestler.
Yes. Yeah, we really got to teach Shep how to keep the F-bombs out until about the 15-minute mark of the show. Yeah. One of these days.
And mine still wasn't the F word, so,
No, and I don't care. I don't care what you say, but we'll teach him. You would think him. Darn near 3 years into the podcast, he would learn, but which this does. This is kicking off our our fifth year.
Yeah, I was going to say fifth year.
Yeah, because we started in early January of 2021. So
yeah,
that's crazy. Yeah. That's crazy. Time flies when you're having fun.
I know.
We like to do here on the Kicking Out Podcast, and we appreciate everybody tuning in every week and commenting like everybody is on YouTube tonight. It really, really adds a lot to the show.
Yeah.
Majin, belt up Archer already. Majin, if I had a dollar for every time you've said that, which I'm not disagreeing with you, for every time you've said that, I'd be pretty rich.
Yeah, we'd be rolling.
Make Archer great again. Put it on a shirt, Majin. Put it on a shirt.
That's the only MAGA I can get behind.
Fair enough. I will not argue with you on that. And our other co-host is not here to say anything.
So. Exactly. That's why I didn't say it tonight.
And he won't listen to this either. He probably won't watch it. He'll have no idea what was said.
He doesn't even know the things I've been saying in the text group here recently. I mean,
that's a good point.
I could make that. Well, I kind of did. If you look, I've changed my tagline there. But yeah,
yes.
Shep has no clue that's even going on. I can guarantee it. Or he'll shock us. Or he would shock us and we'll get a text message like tomorrow morning that says, oh, I pay attention.
Yeah. Well, Shep, let us know. But anything else with AEW programming you want to discuss before I give a quick little recap of what I liked at Wrestle Dynasty?
Big week. Looking forward to.
Yeah.
Hopefully we get that picture in picture on Max. Because
I'm not holding my breath,
but I think if we do, it'll be second quarter at least, if not third quarter.
And I think, you know, and Max already has, which I should have had it behind me. I'm slacking tonight. When I checked the other day, they had 2019 Dynamites up, 2019 pay-per-views up, and 2024 Dynamites from like October on up. And they're going to slowly get the rest on there. So that's going to be great to have a full library. And I believe pay-per-views going forward are going to be discounted at a certain rate, which will be nice.
That's my understanding of it as well.
Yep. So Wrestle Dynasty, yes, I had trouble. I actually stayed up until the main event of Ricochet, Zack Sabre Jr. Because for one, I was pretty darn sure Sabre was not losing that match. And two, it was like 2 a.m. And I was just
And you're tired. Old.
Yes, I'm getting old. yes. Even though you're older than me.
I stay up later than you, though.
You do. So, but I ordered it really just to watch Kenny's return. And I'm glad I did. He and Gabe Kidd, like I said at the beginning of the pod, tore the house down, tore the Tokyo Dome down. It's only January 5th, but man, that's going to be a contender for a match of the year candidate. Absolutely. And Kenny's entrance was awesome. Something to answer Steffi's comment here. It was months in the making, different theme song. I hope we get more of a Kenny Omega New Japan type, not character, but how they use them. New Japan. I want AEW to use. Okay, here's how I'll put it. I want AEW to use Kenny Omega like the star he is. It's time. And he alluded to that in a backstage promo. Like, he's coming back for what he's lost. He's going to prove to AEW, to the world, to the wrestling business as a whole, that wrestling is Kenny Omega. Love hearing that from him. Every time we get Kenny back, then he goes away for a while due to injury or, you know, diverticulitis or whatever it is. We realize how much we miss him. Comes back, banger after banger after banger. Can't get enough of it. So, but he was awesome. Gabe Kidd was awesome. Gabe Kidd's great for New Japan. And they were true. And Paul, the crowd was in favor of Gabe Kidd last night.
Wow.
Not Kenny Omega over there in Japan. Yes.
That's something different to hear. Normally everywhere Kenny goes, the crowd's behind him.
Saw Jack Perry take an L last night. Saw the Young Bucks get new gold. They're the heavyweight tag champs over there for the second time in their career. And they teased showing up on Max eventually with the titles.
So
that'll be cool. And I thought the Bucks looked awesome last night. You could tell they're rested since October. It looked like old vintage Bucks, not the Bucks we saw. And even though they're my tag team of the year, because I thought they put on good matches, they went back to their old style, not so much the heel style they worked in 2024 without the so much flippity flops.
Oh, cool. The super kick party's back.
Yep. But they didn't have that theme, of course, last night.
Well, no.
Probably won't for a long time. The real Pineapple Movie Podcast, Gabe Kidd versus Kenny Omega, was effing absurd. Takeshi is a star, yes. he went over last night. He is a beast. Ricochet looked great, I'm guessing, versus Sabre Jr. And Athena needs to be on AEW television. Why is she the only ROH champ who can't appear on AEW? Something we've been discussing for
months,
year now. I don't get it.
Yeah.
She's a beast. I don't understand.
She was on there for a while, and then when she went to ROH and yep. won the women's right. title, she's never
she
been
was trying
back.
To get the TBS title from Jade. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
So Majin Tanner's old. Ha, he's the young boy of the podcast.
No, oh, he is, true. but he's grandpa like in his sleep schedule.
Fair enough. The real Pineapple Movie Podcast. The thing with Omega is he was booked great as the belt collector. 6-man tag stuff was fun, but he went on too long with it. Hopefully he can stay healthy, but this new era is intriguing. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Amir Gabe better get a primetime match at Forbidden Door. 100%. 100%. Dude's a stud. And I really enjoyed the David Finley Brody King match last night. Even though Brody beat the tar out of Finley for 90% of the match, Finley got the W. So I thought that was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. I really enjoyed that match. And on the pre-show, I really liked Sammy and Dustin going over. I thought it was awesome to see Dustin over in Japan again.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
Without his brother.
Yeah. Yeah. Majin Kitty should be the final boss.
Oh, you're going to get a cease and desist from Dwayne Johnson now. Link has Ganondorf. Mario has Bowser. AEW should have Kenny Omega.
Oh, Link. Is he talking about Zelda?
Yes.
Like, okay, thank you.
Yep. Legend of Zelda.
Thank you.
The character's name is Link, not Zelda.
Yes.
Zelda's the princess.
I was close. I was close. That's why I need your help here, Paul.
Well, that so many people think that for the longest time thought that the main character of The Legend of Zelda was Zelda, not Link. So got to specify.
The Real Pineapple Movie Podcast is coming to Amir here. Give me Gabe Kidd versus Swerve Strickland. Talking about Forbidden Door. Yeah, that would be money. That'd be a lot of fun. That'd be a lot of fun. You know, the one thing I've noticed whenever I watch wrestling in Japan, the table spots always make me cringe. Because the tables are so different and they're small over there. They're just mm-hmm. so much. There's not a lot of room for error. It just,
Yeah.
Cringe.
But even
B40 on YouTube, AEW should hand out bars of soap to all the fans who go to their shows with a laughing emoji. Sometimes you're luckier than other times. I will say.
Sometimes they give you toilet paper.
I will say when I was at the A Dynamite show in Fishers in December, there was a gentleman sitting kind of close to me that probably could have used that, but
I don't think that's what B40 is suggesting, but
that's what I'm suggesting though. So, just saying, not trying to be rude, but so it was a fun week of AEW across the board in America, over in Japan. It's going to be a fun, we don't have a pay-per-view till March 9th.
March.
Revolution at the crypto.com arena, which is always going to be Staples Center to me, which will be a lot of fun. The Bucks are going to be on that card. It's in their backyard there in California. But we do have the Grand Slam in Australia show on February 15th. I don't know what they're doing as far as televising that show.
I don't either.
Because of the time difference. It's so crazy.
Yeah.
I don't think they could put it on live here, but I don't know. Maybe they do on Max.
Maybe.
I don't know. The Real Pineapple Movie Podcast in general, wrestling fans, Comic Con fans, people in general could use better hygiene. Yeah, people in general, that's true. Who are your AEW champions at the end of 2025 if you're booking? Well, it's interesting you do this. You asked this because we did this on we did a podcast about this last month.
Yes, back in early part of December.
Early December, but real quick, Paul, if you can remember off the top of your head.
No. I know I got Fletcher winning a title. I think I got him winning the C2 next year.
Well, I know the world title. I have Hangman.
Jay White on that one.
You have Jay White and Shep has MJF.
Yeah.
I do know that much. Women's title. Both had Willow.
Yes, yes. And I think I had...
And Shep at Tony Storm.
And I think I had Anna Jay for TBS.
No, you had Queen Aminata like I did.
No.
Yes, you did.
Did I?
Yes, you did. And Shep had Sky Blue.
Okay.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Anna Jay was my wrestler, female wrestler of the year because all the work she did over in New Japan. That's where she was at.
I can't remember the rest of them off the top of my head, but you, real Pineapple Movie Podcast, you can go back to one of our podcasts or episodes just a few weeks ago and check those out.
Yeah, I think
I'll go look them up and I'd tell you next week. I just don't remember off the top of my head.
So. I think it's predictions for 2025. Is it the name of
the podcast? I think you're right. AEW 2025 predictions or something like that.
Yeah, something along those lines. Yeah,
something along those lines. So. One last comment here, Majid. I still remember the infomercial Stone Cold did on the hygiene for wrestling fans. Yeah, that's classic. If you don't know what he's talking about, go YouTube that. It's worth the time.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Well, Paul, as we wrap up tonight, I want to give you the platform to do a plug for yourself.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So over the last several years, I've done a lot of writing. And in 2024, I decided it was time to. Tanner's trying
to do that.
Yeah, no. There we go. Thanks.
I'm trying to get it on you. I don't know.
Oh.
I'm trying to do a solo layout to you. See, I don't know how to get it on you. Oh, there we go. Oh, I had it.
There. I just completely kicked Tanner off the show. But in 2024, I finally decided that it was time to get published. And so, not having a whole lot of funds, I decided to self-publish myself, and I have done so. And I currently have two titles out. And if you're listening to this on an audio platform, I now have three titles out. I have Helix Shadows Awakening, the first of five stories that'll come out in that series. If you followed any of my YouTube stuff, I put all those short stories together into a book and called it Tales from the Shadows, which you can buy. And coming out on January 6th is books one and two. They're combined into one book of Pulsar Shadowan, The Grey Witch Chronicles, part one. That'll drop 3 hours from now if you're watching live, or it's out now if you're listening to your podcast. So if you're interested in any of the things that I've written, if you're a fan of Stranger Things, Helix Shadows is right up your alley. I took a lot of influence from Stranger Things to write Helix Shadows. Like I said, that'll have five total books to it. I've started book two, but it's going to take me a little while because I'm changing a little bit of the direction I went with that and going a little darker. But if you're interested in buying any of my books, follow Paul Zartman, author, on Facebook. And I got links up there, or you can send me a message on any of the social platforms I'm on to ask how you can buy your copy of my book. Welcome back, Tanner.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, good stuff, Paul. Proud of you. Happy for you. Wishing you the best of luck in doing that. I think it's awesome when somebody chases their dreams, no matter how difficult they are. So
yeah, a lot of fear. I've always been afraid of what others thought of my own writing. And I got thinking, you know, I had some poetry that got published back when I was in school. So I said, you know what?
Didn't know that. That's pretty cool. Did not know that.
Yeah, back in 06, actually, I had poem published. So
cool. Well, I'll get the links up next week. I'll have them here on the pod too, so people can.
I'll have all where to go books then, and I'll even be running a special discounted price because I get to set the prices, and kind of like our merchandise stuff, we get to set the prices for those. So I'm going to drop the price by 20% for everybody from KOP. So if you buy from KOP, you're saving 20% on any of my books right off the bat.
There you go. All you avid readers out there, make sure to get yourself some copies. So with that said, Paul, why don't you wrap us up there?
Yeah. Be sure to follow the Kicking Out Podcast on all social media at Kicking Out Pod. Be sure to listen to the Kicking Out Podcast wherever it is you listen to your podcast. And if that happens to be Apple Podcasts, leave us that 5-star review because we are 5-star KOP. Be sure to check out kickingoutshop.com or search us up on Pro Wrestling Tees. Look up Kicking Out Podcast. It's two great sites to go to get some great merchandise, look great while you support a fantastic podcast. Be sure to follow Tanner Lee on all social media at TannerLee92. Follow the KOP Predictions Champion who's not here at TheShep24. And follow myself.
27.
I don't know where the 4 came from, but 27. 24, 27. Same thing.
Yeah. 3 apart.
Yeah. Years that we wish we were that age again. And be sure to follow myself at PaulZartman87. Again, reach out if you're interested in buying a book, and we'll have those links for you next week for 20% off. So join us again next week as we kick out yet another podcast.